first studio which you had, were you in the part of building that process, like the building the first studio?
No, that was a very lucky deal for us. That was a chance, and we took it. Actually, we didn't need a studio back then, or I didn't need one. I had two rooms, which were for the time were perfectly all right. Where we really recorded back times with Blender was basically just two rooms, one small cabin, not cabin, but what a drum booth. That's it. That's how we recorded back times with Blender. But we had the chance to. I mean, it's not good for the guys who owned the studio before, apparently. But so we took it over, and for many years we were there. Then but it was a really great complex because there were other rooms, sleeping rooms, rehearsal room. It was all separate, and yet you could continue to work. And that was very, very good back then. I really hate to mention something. It's not that I always wanted to have a studio or be a mixing engineer or recording engineer. It kind of just happened on the way when we were, when we moved to Leipzig, to the big town here, Leipzig, and then we had a rehearsal room, and suddenly we had a computer back then. We were the first to have the computer, and we had a mixing desk, and then recorded our tracks, and the neighbors heard about it, and that's how it started, and just asked, hey, can we come over and you record three tracks? Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try, let's do. And this is kind of how it developed, and at some point, I basically just knew that I wanted to have rooms for my. I needed rooms for my music, like basically how you need your drum room, And it would be cool to have a recording setup in that room, to use it really, for whatever releases. And so, but kind of that was the idea to build a studio, and then I had one. But it was never, my intention to make a real business out of it. That was really the point. At some point, it became a business, and I was mixing and recording all the time. I got a bit tired of it. I really got a bit tired of it because my musical career kind of was gone for the time. So that's just the story, just to say that's my story.
Yeah, true. I guess we are all basic victims of the circumstances, so you need to go with the situation and find a solution, and then it can take interesting paths.
You never know. Yes.
Right. So basically, then now, are you still running the Patreon thing for the band?
It's still going on, and it is a crazy and yet fantastic thing. That's how it is. I mean, I'm very grateful. Sometimes I'm sitting at home and thinking, okay, what the fuck? What is this? Yeah, and then it is exactly what it is. I mean, I was very open with the thing. Why we do it? I mean, if I had to work like everybody else, I like to work. That's not the point. But if I am working on a regular basis, then Disillusion albums will take like six years, something.
Exactly.
If you want to change that, then we need constant, a regular income. I mean, we play live, yes, of course, we earn money there, but it's not, it's not the whole year or whatever. Or then you have for yourself, and you do an album, you're like, I'm out for 1 year completely. There's nothing else.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So it's basically, it's allowing you to do Disillusion basically full time.
Yes, I'm doing full time Disillusion. Yeah. And to stay kind of in touch with my profession, I mix, not often, but I do mixes to kind of stay in touch with everything and to keep everything going. Also to try stuff, of course, and I do not have to work extra,
right? So then you put some kind of like updates there, some contents, like special exclusive contents for the people,
yes, of course, Patreon. Special insights, news that come way before, or exclusive news, of course. But on the other hand, there's a lot of talking with the fellows there, and of course, there are always there are always some who really want communication and content. But most of everybody knows that this is actually, or also supports me in the idea that this is not. I mean, it's stupid if I work like 2 days a week for Patreon. It's also crazy. Then I could go to, you know, go to a studio or whatever. So every now and then, yes, but it's not like real content. No, that would be stupid. It's not the idea. The idea is to make music. And whenever it's possible, I share what is happening there. We all know that some things are not to be understood by people who are not musicians. What is happening when you write music? It's like, eh? What the hell?
Yeah.
And this is supposed to become something interesting. Yeah, we will see. Yeah. But yes, so that's those kind of insights. As we make it very personal. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's really great that you have got that thing going, and like and especially after so long break, you know, you had the hiatus thing, yes. And now you are doing it back. So it's really great to see that working out so well. So yeah, I think basically we could go a little bit through, you know, the certain I think the albums and like the eras, like the Times of Splendor album, which is of course this like you know, spectacle masterpiece thing. Basically, then you had that lineup there with the Jens, with Maluska, last name, yeah. as the drum. How did you basically form that lineup and, for example, find him and so forth?
Yeah, no, basically the band was founded in another city. When was it, like 1997 or yeah, whatever. 1994. Next year, I was told on the weekend, last weekend, I was told that we have 30th anniversary next year. So that's why I was thinking, is that true? Yeah, it seems to be true. Crazy. So yeah. 29 years ago, the band was formed. I make that short. It was great people. Also my best friend. We are still friends, but we split up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this happened while basically exactly at the moment when I moved to Leipzig. So I was kind of alone here and I needed to start all over, and I decided to make a demo. I decided to take a year to write demos and find new people. And so I indeed met Raik and Jens Maluska on drums here in Leipzig, and they both were really excited, and we started Disillusion all over in a way in whatever, right. 1989.
Yeah.
He's an amazing drummer, still is. I mean, he is.
Yeah.
I really like his playing, still do, yes. Or I miss it, but don't get me wrong, anybody. Also like Martin and everybody, that's not the point. But especially when it comes to a riffing that is, or a mood that is back to Times of Splendor-ish, then I hear Jens. I still hear him play, and that's just that's connected to.
Yeah, I think he, like some drummers, and I think for Jens, like it kind of like set the style for the band, how to drum for your like riffs and things. So,
yes, definitely. Yes, right. I mean we were talking a lot, or let's say we were kind of narrowing down where we agree on. Let's say what, and we both, all three of us, came from very different directions back then, and but it worked to get those three things, or those three people together, and and of course he contributed all the drums. I mean, period. There was not much written by a guitar player or something. No, not really.
Not needed.
Speaking of which, Back Times of Splendor was actually written on an acoustic guitar, completely. It was. Not completely. Okay, don't get. Yes, of course. Some, whatever. Yeah, but not. It was not. It was basically an acoustic guitar record in writing mode. Okay. And I, right now, writing for this next record, I'm trying to go back to that trying to avoid the computer and everything and all the sequencing and whatever and all the amazing drum samples. Yeah, it's amazing, but I try to avoid it right now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Go back to the like more natural
flow,
how you basically did it.
And also to have the things in the head, not already kind of finished, and the language is already set. I mean, the language of the song is already set. Once you produce it in the computer, everybody who will listen to it has a clear picture. But when I go into a rehearsal room with an acoustic guitar or in the studio and I say, okay, this is a new song, enjoy whatever it's going to sound like, then they listen to just a groove, a vibe, and then, you know, if you're a drummer and then you have feeling and then you have a vibe, whatever, and you hit something, but you will hit most likely you will hit something different than it's already being, you know, hit on the guitar or whatever. That's the idea. So I try to, I wrote so many drum tracks, I'm done with that.
I think I also like the way, like if I'm working with some songs or whatever project, if we are creating original music, I want to hear, you know, the music without the drums. Like if somebody makes a song, he can send also the drum ideas, but I want to first just hear the music. So I basically hear, you know, things, and then things can lead into different, like, you know, paths and things, instead of like if you hear already something there, somebody has pre-sampled it, kind of a little bit like directs your
definitely
thought process.
Actually it's it's done. I mean, that's it. So Jens Maluska, great drummer.
Yes, absolutely. And then you got also signed with the Metal Blade Records.
Yeah, things went really quick. I mean, we did a 4-track demo, Three Neuron Kings, in 1999, or was it 2001? I'm sorry. We did 4 tracks, but we already had like 10. We were playing live. And then we won some contest and we brought out we released a new single, The Porter, with 2 tracks. And that's when Metal Blade came. They thought, okay, these guys are hot. Okay. And because we were hot, yes, of course. But we decided way before Metal Blade, we decided we are not going to do a first record with, you know, as a collection of songs. That was the sentence that we were using for this. We do not want to make a collection of the tracks we have. No, we wanted, if we were to make an album, for whatever reason, we decided, okay, one day we will start writing for that album until it is finished. And that was Tim Spender, you know.
Yeah.
And they had
Brian Slagle, the guy, I guess, with the Metal Blade. Did he basically then, is he in the role of basically picking people, or is he just the one of the whatever CEOs or something like that, or was he involved in signing you, picking you up?
No, I think he made the final signature, yes, but
that was his part.
Yeah, that was his part. But no, Metal Blade back then, or for many years, they had a really strong German or European, but it was in southern Germany, how you call it, you know, Metal Blade Europe. It was a division, big division.
Yeah.
And had a big bureau and a lot of people were working there. So this was basically Metal Blade Europe was doing all European affairs. So that's
right.
That's where we were signed as well, you know, from the Europeans.
Yeah, yeah. And then basically after that, after the Times of Splendor, then quite different kind of album came out as the Gloria came.
Yeah.
So how did basically things evolve from the Times of Splendor to the Gloria, being the way Gloria album is?
Yeah.
It's quite drastic basically. Or it's not, it's kind of like a not, but still it's quite like a different, you know,
It's
sounding record.
It's crazy, crazy step. How did things evolve? I mean, we played a lot of live shows. I mean, back Times of Splendor, we were young. We had no clue what was going to come upon us when we released such an album. So, and I mean, Disillusion never were big or big stars or whatever. No, of course not. But it was, but it was way more than nothing. So, and suddenly we had a lot of pressure, and we were hyped. Or, boah, what the fuck? Biggest, yeah, biggest sensation, and blah blah blah. And yes, and then we played a lot of live shows, but we were also supposed to hand in a record, you know. And I realized, okay, I am not at all in the mood for continuing what we did on Back Time to Spandau. It was a question of the mood, of the setting. It was not doable. I wouldn't know how to do it. And that's hard to explain how exactly Back Time to Spandau was, you know, created. It's very isolated in a way, so it needed a different approach and the follow up. Of course, nobody thought that it was going to be that drastic, but very soon when we started writing for Gloria, it became clear that it kind of was very urban, and this topic or cold, and we decided, hey, okay, let's do it. We go for this. Because I mean, we like it. It's crazy. Sometimes we hate it. What the fuck? What are we doing? And but then it's something. I mean, it's whatever happened, and I'm proud of it. But there was also no way around to do something different. We needed to do something different. I mean, that's
right.
Something needed to happen, or need to take a break. But there was no chance to take a break.
Okay, yeah, it's crazy because like also like at that point I was listening a lot the Times of Splendor, and then that album came. It was like pretty like I think I saw first the Don't Go Any Further video. I think maybe it was the first single or something.
Yes,
I saw that. I was a little bit like, what the fuck is this in a way? But then quite soon it started still like catching me, and like I still somehow there is still the Disillusion, you know. Yes. Thing in there, even though it's so kind of its own different sounds.
It could have been more. I mean, we still play some songs live, and of course they have. Yeah. We have adapted them over the years. I mean, the change was also very drastic in sound and production, everything, and that maybe after some years it became clear. Okay, that wouldn't have been necessary. The whole thing wouldn't have been necessary. We could have, you know, but we didn't. So now we play the songs differently. It's they just, you don't really recognize that it's like such a different album.
When we play it live
now, it's like, okay, it's just one band. So
right, yeah. I also did like the graphics of the, you know, the visual side of the thing, that head or whatever it was like. I think I got that also, like I ordered that shirt. It's maybe the most worn band T-shirt which I ever got.
Yeah.
It was so good quality, a nice fit, and then a good like the design of the white, like whatever the head thing is of the Glory. And
I'm ashamed, but I forgot the artist. Some Dutch.
Also like that it was not like a completely shiny white. It had a little bit of this, like you know, the print. It was it was not completely like a, you know, white, but a little bit like a warmish, a little bit like dimmer tone.
I remember.
That
was nice shirt.
Everything worked out. It was really good. Like the T-shirt model. I was then looking like, what is this T-shirt made of? So like, because the fabric was so good and the fit was so good, but then I never really, I think, found more of that T-shirt.
Okay. I forgot. Maybe I have one somewhere.
Yeah, you should consider restocking that. I will order that again because I still have it somewhere. But I wore it so much that there's some holes in the like armpits and things. But otherwise, it stood pretty well the wearing.
Good.
Yeah. And also like the soundscapes. I also still remember the website which you had.
Oh.
It was made with Flash.
Yeah.
It was this what is the called? Like, you know, this hay or whatever moving in the...
Yeah.
In the fields. and then that soundscape. I remember it basically that time I was also like, you know, starting my graphic design career, and I think somehow those things, they were inspiring me also like visually,
okay,
you know, in addition to the music, and the combined with that atmosphere of the music, it was something like both audio and visual inspiration for me back in the day. So it was pretty cool.
It was really nice, but it was a nice website. Yeah. Nobody cares about that anymore, you know, but
That's good old Flash.
Good old Flash,
I think.
Oy, oy, oy.
Now they've forbidden it. No more Flash websites.
You cannot imagine putting on your phone and then what the wall. Oh, my suit.
Yeah, maybe not a responsive Flash website.
No, yeah, responsive Flash. Yeah, no. That's. I mean, I know how much you can track with that. That doesn't matter. Yeah. No. But it was really nice. It was, yeah, I remember. I kind of forgot about this website that you were mentioning. I thought you meant the first Don't Go, and not Don't Go, but the first Gloria website. But yes, you meant the one, a designer, his name is Warg, did it, and we talked about it a lot, and it was really nice. So we had, I have this, we have these concrete, this is stupid, what I'm doing right now. Oh! we have these concrete logos. You see that?
I think you need to. I'm not able to see it properly. It's so overexposed. Still? No, yeah, I know I can see it. Okay.
This is just a demo, right? So we have we have this one. I have this one outside, just the D in like 1 meter, 1 meter 50. Oh. And in the garden in my old house, it's like a 3 meter long disillusioned thing. Somebody was really crazy.
Cool.
And so that's where the idea came from. You're just putting one of these concrete blocks out into nature and just, that's the
right. That's cool. Cool idea.
That's the website. Oh. All right.
That's awesome.
And Bach.
No problem. That was cool. So this was then now recorded, I guess, in Leipzig as well. But was it a different studio? The studio was different.
Yes, both were. Yeah, exactly. Back then, Spender was a small, two-roomy, drum boofy thing, but yet nice and cozy. And then we moved in that big area. It's in construction, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a big site. We moved to another building and had the big studio, and that's where it was just before we started writing for Gloria. Yeah, so Gloria was recorded in that new studio where we stayed for until 2013. Yeah, then we moved here.
Right.
So it's
okay.
Three studios. Yeah.
So that was basically then the only record made there.
For the Delusion, yes. Yeah. But I recorded a lot of other artists there, after Gloria.
Mm. Ali, I guess, was then now recording this recording.
It was already recorded here in Echolux.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
So you had a long break. Was there some reason for that, for the break?
Yeah, a lot of reasons.
Okay.
I mean, after Gloria and after we played a lot of live shows and kind of were finished paying all the debts, you know, we basically split up in a way. I mean, Jens left and there was not too much of a future. And I had serious problems with my arms, couldn't play guitar I hadn't been telling about this until recently. I decided, okay, I don't want to make something up anymore. Okay, I just had major arm issues for like 2 years. I couldn't play guitar.
Okay.
So it was they were really hurting. There was many days that I really had trouble like holding the mouse and doing computer things. So, and this took, and all of this got into my head, of course. And then it's like, wow. And then it took a lot of mental recovery time to really feel like, strong enough and confident enough to go back out there again, and with everything that happened and all everything that needed to be, you know, taken care of physically, and Yeah. And so the years went by. Yeah. Kids came. And, and suddenly we had 2014, 2015. Yeah. But then I felt good. And we were on vacation and I kind of picked up my phone and said, okay, now I'm going to call Jens, ask him.
Yeah.
And he said, basically instantly, yeah, okay, it's crazy, but let's do it. But actually, it's different. I'm sorry. I've been lying. Okay. We were asked to do a Back to Times of Splendor full show sometime in 2015 in Vienna.
Was it the Vienna show? Yeah, that's the one I attended as well.
Ah, yeah, you were there.
Yeah.
Yes. Crazy.
Yeah.
And that was the comeback. And then the comeback for us, because then we were rehearsing again, and so we just
okay.
That was the call.
Basically are we going? The Alia idea, the single came basically after that request to do the gig.
No. The song I already wrote like in 2010, 2011. I was kind of waiting. But when we were asked to do the Back Time Splendor show, it was clear that when we do it, then we continue. I mean, we don't know. Either we do it, really do it or not. It's like, that was the point. And so the question was, are we going to do the show and are we going to continue? So that gave us a lot of, I told him, the guy, the man, the person who asked us in Vienna, and I told him many times that he brought us back.
It was a great show. I think I said that it went into my top three shows which I've seen.
Ooh.
When I came to great. See it.
Thank you.
And I've seen bragging, but because like I think I've seen basically like at least all my basically favorite bands in their prime. So I've seen a lot of great shows, been fortunate in that way. So in that context, it's in the top three. So it was a really great show.
Crazy. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really awesome. Yeah.
It was really nice.
Then the Liberation album, you wrote that album at some cabin.
Yeah, like
that.
Most of it, yes. In Czech Republic, in the forest, in the outbacks. Like basically, are you living in the countryside? Yeah, or in the town?
Yeah, now at least like more at the, because we bought this new house, this detached house now, and it's a bit like outside of the Helsinki most urban area. It's a little bit at the outskirts, but I am from like from countryside, from farm.
Yeah,
actually, so
yeah, okay. Yeah, that's pretty much where the, yeah, it's just there's basically nothing happening where I go
for right.
There's nobody coming, nobody ringing, nobody complaining, no car passing by, and just a small forest, and that's where I go for writing. At least where I went for writing. I'm going there on Thursday actually again now this week, but only for a couple of days, and try to reconnect, and maybe I spend a lot of time there to record to write for a new album. But Liberation, yes. Was like really that is Liberation is absolutely connected to that place. I mean, really every song, everything is like always for me myself at least. I mean, always pictures of the place and situations come to my mind. Yeah, even if you play live, I'm like in this place. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
yeah.
But I've been there.
So how did you?
Excuse me.
How did you find that place? Basically, how did you pick it?
I've tried such exile writing things before, but the places didn't feel good enough. So of course I've been talking to my girlfriend back then, of course, about this, and she is definitely the better finder than me. So the credit is definitely on her side. So yeah, she found it. It's an Airbnb thingy. And back then it was very new, so it was very affordable. And it's not so affordable anymore. So I went there. Yeah. I went there. I don't know. I think for liberation, I spent like 15 weeks something there in the house. Okay. Yeah.
That was a long Airbnb stay then.
Yeah, but it was okay. It was not. It was very cheap. Sorry. And but the longest time was 5 weeks. I really in exile. I mean, that was not 5 weeks in winter. That was too much. For everybody who wants to try, I mean, if you try it, you have to be aware that this is also a very psychological voyage. 5 weeks in the nothingness.
Right.
Yes, and it was very cool. I mean, it was really cool. I think in those 5 weeks I wrote Wintertide. I definitely wrote some parts of Time to Let Go. I wrote Between. And Schumann Dog C in those 5 weeks. This was a lot of, when I came back, the album was finished in a way for the guys, like, oh, too crazy. Yeah.
So what kind of stuff did you bring with you? Like just laptop and then guitar?
No,
or
something? I basically brought everything. When I go there, not anymore, as I said, I try to, of course, I will bring a laptop and I bring a microphone and I bring also my guitar board for, you never know. But for liberation and also writing for I Am, I bring the whole thing. I bring the studio. Okay. I bring half of the studio. It's nobody should know where the place is. If I go out for a walk, it's like every time I'm like, oh man, if somebody's looking through the window, like, gosh, it's like just, you just need a stone and then you're in.
Okay.
It's really, I have to be careful where it is. No, it's everything. I have like bring like four guitars and bass and everything. You know, I love the city. I love the city. I love all the advantages, everything, all the energies, all the input, everything. Very nice. And yet I hate it. The noise. Blah. The energy. And I hate it a lot. It really, I'm not feeling well, physically. It's really, I need to go out. So I would really like to have a house or some place of my own in the countryside where I can just like bounce around, like at most of the people, So I'm just like, like everybody. So the question is not, to make it, very different. I need all this to write or to produce the record. So I need to take it with me, but I need this setting where nothing's happening and where you can kind of progress. Everything you do can progress in your tempo, in your time frame. There's no, whatever,
Yeah, you can distractions.
No distraction, yes. You can just, every thought can take its time. And yet I'm also doing like financial work there or do booking and I'm also working. It's just a very different tempo. Just a different tempo. And this exactly. I need. This could be next door, but it isn't. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so you basically blocked everybody out from all the connections when you were there.
And never ever somebody came to visit,
Okay.
Of course, we have to, you have to talk to someone every now and then. It's like, get insane. I mean, really, I don't know. Also, I can go for like maximum 5 days. Also, if you do a real retreat, in the forest or, become the hunter or whatever,
Yeah.
If you do that on purpose, something different. But I don't know if you're like a social person and this is music. I mean, you're feeling a lot. That's what I meant. Actually, work continues when I go there. It's just a different place with a very different tempo. No, then I need some contacts. I need to talk to people on the phone then. But if somebody, as I said, nobody ever came. The band was there, but only like on the first day, and then they left. So I never in between somebody was coming in the time, And I think that's good. I think we continue this now. It's crazy. It won't work. It won't work.
It's like, yeah.
Okay, what are we doing now? Talking. When are you going to leave?
Yeah.
So that's the place, yeah. And I can only recommend it. I mean, there's a lot of people here in Leipzig, a lot of musicians. We are all looking for a place where we can, that we can kind of rent together, multiple persons, and then not set up a studio or something, not too much, but just have this place. And every now and then you can go there, and a lot of people, just musicians, right? For exactly that reason. Just, it's so good just to write, think about it. It's not vacation. It's just no distractions. That's not vacation. It's different. If I go on vacation, mm-hmm. that's a very different thing.
Yeah.
It's just
so basically you just woke up every day and then maybe took a walk and then maybe wrote something and then that's basically passing time and then, you know, but still in the realm of the creative kind of like headspace.
Absolutely, yeah. It starts when you get up, or it's allowed. It's possible that it starts when you wake up, and whatever you do, you stay in the process, as you said, you know, like the whole week, right. The whole two weeks. And that's just, that's what, when the things happen, I mean, I really cannot imagine, and that's why where this patron comes in again, I cannot imagine how this would work for the Disillusion songs and the, I mean, we try to do big, dramatic things every now and then, and they are not just happening, or they are not, you know, constructed, there's no construction, this is every time thought from the first note, you know, it's always if this okay, this will not work, okay, again, and it's thinking, it's a lot of thinking, it's more thinking than playing, and this I do there, you know, I cannot do this in the city or with headphones on or whatever, no.
Yeah, so likely next, like as you said, you are going there, so there's continuation coming from that place.
Yeah, definitely. I hope so. Right. I mean, I go there in September for 1 week, and but this week, these 3 days or 2 days, I will just reconnect. I will just, you know, it's just a short time. We'll just reconnect with the place and see. I went there some weeks, months, 2 weeks, 2 months ago, but to reconnect. But as soon as I got there, I got ill. That's crazy. Okay. So I needed to go to bed and spent 3 days in bed, and then I went home. That's crazy.
Okay.
That was crazy. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I guess maybe it was some psychological, you know.
Yes.
Kind of relief that now you can relax, but then body kind of. So then, for this liberation, you then had a new drummer, Josh. How did you find that guy?
No, he came to Leipzig from Dubai, and he needed a band, and I needed a drummer, and so we got together and made this album, and never played live together. That's the downside of the process. Yes. We made the album together. That was very good at many points, very good ideas. But all of us, both of us needed to, I've never talked about this actually, yeah. We both needed to end this before we go on stage together kind of prolong it to some distant time. You know.
So the... Jens basically then left after the Alea.
Jens left after Alea, that was also too bad, yeah. I mean, he's working, he's a family guy, and we played a lot of shows. I think it was like 16 shows or something for Alea, which is not too much, it was not even a tour, but I perfectly understand it was already beyond what is really doable. And I said, okay, this is just the beginning. I mean, we're doing a new album now, and that's okay.
Mm. Yeah. Sometimes it's time for different things.
Yeah, it was a crazy time. I mean, it is. I mean, that's when you make a new band. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you make a new band, then you form a new band, and then you make a demo, and then somebody leaves, and then you make another demo, and people will not really know about it until then you make your first album, and this is the band. So, and people think, oh, you've been together for all your life. No, you have not, half a year, you know? But people do not know. And then you go on. Yeah, but I mean, Disillusion, we had these 8 years of break, and it was like Alea and everything. The time was like a restart. It was just the start of, it was just restarting the band, but the lights were on. Everybody was, not everybody, but people were watching.
Yeah.
So it was life, and I was aware of that, of course, yes, but I wanted to go back on stage. Wanted, because I just, there was just a feeling, okay, now or never. It's proven me right in a way. So yes, but it looks crazy. I know. This, the time looks crazy. Jens in, Jens out. Josh in, Josh out. I know. Yeah.
But you know, happened. things and life situations change for people, in whatever. So that's the way it goes. Sometimes it's time to do different things. Yeah, but like I think like the Josh also like did really really good job on the drums, and I like the sounds as well, like very much. I think on the Liberation and was there basically something. And how do you basically record? I guess I'm just guessing. Basically, you recorded the Liberation similarly as you did now this new I Am album. Basically, process-wise, I mean, like recording-wise.
Yes, yes, but the drums of Liberation were recorded in someplace else in Germany, the France studio, Proton Studio in Geislingen. Oh God, in southern Germany. And on I Am we did it downstairs because I do not want to record the drums. I love drums, but I love recording drums. No, I do not love recording drums. That's hard. I have a strong vision or feeling, you know, about drums, and when I record Disillusion drums, it's like really pain in the ass for everybody involved. If I record it, when I get the chance to produce it, it's good, and can I just go outside and somebody else takes over the job of communicating, and you find the drummer and the production guy find the solution for the problem, then it's better than when I do it. So, for the energy of everybody.
Right. Yeah.
The drums, but this time for I Am, they were recorded here, but basically recorded by my neighbor, Magnus, who is a very talented young man. Oh,
I don't know where do you have the ability to find so great drummers, but like the new albums as well, like very technical stuff and very also with good taste.
Yeah.
The drumming.
Yeah. That's cool.
So how do you find these guys?
I mean, Leipzig is a big town. Sometimes we forget about this, and sometimes it's small, sometimes it's big. And Martin was playing in several bands in town, and many years ago I recorded an album or I produced an album for his old band. But everybody kind of knows so each other, and he was there, and he was free,
and
he wanted to do it, and we tried out. Let's try the Liberation. Let's play the Liberation without talking, just meet and play it. Let's see what happens. And it was really amazing. It was really amazing. So that's it. Let's go.
Right.
You're in. Yeah, Martin is crazy, and he brings a lot of. I mean, he's definitely not coming from the where Jens is coming from. It's really different. I mean, it's really for him. It's really a hard work to get into the thrashy beats or whatever beats that Jens just kind of plays without thinking.
Yeah. Right.
That's where she beats. That's not Martin's business. But we managed to keep some trademarks of the past, and yet form a lot of new aspects that are very connected to his drumming. So
yeah.
I think we managed to get that balance.
Like I like all the like drummers, these three drummers which you had, like each of them did really good job, and also like included this new drummer as well, and like able to play pretty technical stuff and like pull it off live as well. So it's not an easy.
Not
an easy feat to do.
No. But by now, by now we can play it after 25 to 60 shows or whatever. Now we can play.
Right. So how actually do you also record the, for example, the guitars? Do you basically use some like plugins or amp?
Yeah.
With the amp?
I use either go into a plugin, a very, I mean, I need a 5150 sound, whatever.
Okay.
Not whatever, it needs to have a certain vibe, whatever. So there's not many that I found, so I have this, what is it? Oh, how's it called? It's just a no-name 5150 emulation. X50, I think it's called. I would have to look it up. I forgot how it's called. Yeah, this is... okay, let me check. Okay, very quickly. Yeah, it's really TSE X50. I use that a lot. But yes, you can, of course, put your IRs in and everything. But this I do for writing. And also because it has very low latency and everything, it's just working. Of course, for Liberation, I basically went only for this plugin for IAM. I also use the Our Life AX8. The guitar from Fractal Audio that we use live. I use that for writing as well a lot, because that's always kind of, for me, it's a pain in the ass to construct the guitar sounds and then in the DAW and then bring them into live mode. I started to do that already while writing, to really keep that, to really have that.
Right.
It takes so much, or even acoustic guitar, yeah. And then basically, of course, the DI and everything is reamped in the end. Almost everything. No. Actually, just the main guitars are reamped and solos. Everything else is on the record is basically AX8.
And for this album, you had you did the mastering in Sweden.
Oh, mixing. Mixing
this time. Mm. And the Liberation you mixed yourself.
Yes.
Right. Was there some specific like a reason why you picked then this? Was it Jens Bogren?
Yes.
There's some specific reason why you picked him and like wanted somebody else to mix it now?
No, I already would have liked if somebody else would have mixed Liberation. I like mixing a lot, you know, but mixing my own or our own stuff, it's like, boy, it never ends. I mean, never. not the mixing process, but the writing. It's like, I mean, then you are mixing with MIDI. I mean, really, of course, it's like everything is still doable. Okay, let me just, okay. When I go back to drum editing, you know, it's like, oh, it takes ages. And sometimes you kind of lose the picture. I don't know, maybe I did not lose it, but maybe I did. And we were offered the chance. We were offered the chance to do it with somebody else, also financially, let's say. And Jens Borgren was definitely the first choice for this record or for the continuation of the band itself. I mean, apparently has done a lot of mix and produced a lot of bands that are where Disillusion are coming from, or Opeth, Catatonia, etc. It was also necessary that, I mean, it's a lot of tracks, those Disillusion projects. It's yeah. just insane. I don't know if it's insane, but it's insane. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, we definitely needed someone with experience. I mean, there was no, we couldn't try anything or let's see how it works. No, this needs to, this needed to work from start to finish, and it did an amazing job.
Like, what was basically the your origin to basically start writing music and playing guitar, for example?
In the first place, I mean, I've always had very high interest in music, so not. You know, just for singing, and I kind of adapted songs, and there was a lot of input. Nothing happened too much. I didn't get I didn't learn guitar or I didn't learn any instrument. That was too bad. But at some point when I was about, I don't know, 15 or so, we went to you're asking for the ignition was when we went to summer trip with some friends, and there was just a campfire and somebody was starting to play guitar, like Beatles, whatever, you know, and I was I was flashed, period. Yeah, that was my first and after that it just continued from that on. Yeah, from that point on, then I was in the States for a year when I was 17, so it's just 1.5 years later. And that's where I learned guitar, you know, for myself. Got the Guns N' Roses guitar books and played Guns N' Roses. And then it just became music.
Which were basically the first metal bands that basically intrigued you? If we don't count Guns N' Roses as a metal band.
Yeah, I don't know. Then the question is, can we count Alice in Chains? Also not.
Yeah. Okay. But Alice in Chains was something which also liked.
If you ask me, I come from hip hop. That's where I come from. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So that's Public Enemy and stuff. That's my first like real musical face. You know, that's where I come from. Then came grunge. Okay. Grunge, of course. Soundgarden, Alice in Chains. Great. And then came 1994. Or was it 1995? I don't remember. And what else was it? We had Pantera, Far Beyond Driven, Testament, Low. And what was the third one? Machine, Burn My Eyes.
Okay.
These three records came like all at once. Not really, but like crazy. If you imagine, and that's a major, major change in my world. Yeah. These three albums,
right? Mm. Yeah, is there some like of this like you know, I don't know, is it electronic music or some of that era, which are a little bit like, you know, you had for example for the Gloria, this like a certain like I don't know, machine music,
yeah,
like a aspect. Is there certain bands that got you ignited from that genre?
I'm listening to a lot of stuff. I'm listening to a lot of stuff, and I really have to say, metal is just part of this. A lot of stuff. I'm not very seldom that I put in a metal record at night, and that's really needs to interest me. So everything else also can be anything. Can be Björk. Can be whatever. Portishead, stuff like that. Nick Cave, it's just one dimension. And of course there have been soundtracks and composers for film music, Bartolomenti, and yeah, so there's a lot of influences. Yeah. Yes, of course, not too much like real, like, and of course FX Twin has a major impact, had a major impact back then in the days, crazy song. I mean, maybe Gloria without FX Twin wouldn't work. Also, you know, if you want to make a connection, can, you know, it's, or French hardcore hip hop, the stuff that has energy, then it can be a lot of things, you know.
Yeah. What was the FX Twin? What's the band?
FX Twin?
Which you met.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't heard it.
No. So,
yeah.
You check it
out. I have to check it out.
Just FX Twin, AF. APHEX twin. It's just a guy who, you know, with a computer, but this was groundbreaking, whatever. 1995, 4, 3. It's crazy. Okay. Just look at it, yeah, then you will know.
So do you have like then other things which you like to personally do outside of when you are not doing disillusion stuff? Is there something, other things which basically you are passionate about or interested in particularly?
I love nature. Yeah, every time, whenever I can or I need to, then I'm out walking, spending time in nature. And in latest years, I think I will. My wish for engaging myself politically or socially is growing. So I'm right now I'm trying to find a good way how I can help promote local and starting with just getting across the idea that whatever is happening we need to change, and helping people here who are like really into preserving natural resources or the bees and birds and whatever, everything is happening. Yeah, that's the nature thing. And of course our family is family. Spending time with the kids. That's it actually. Yeah. And constructing. I like construct things. That really clears my mind. As really woodworking, and then well, that's what I do.
What kind of woodworking have you been doing lately?
Lately I've just did my balcony at home. The new seats and stuff. Yeah, but you know, small tasks sometimes, bigger tasks, but you know, just it doesn't really matter what it is. I'm not trying to achieve something. It's more the process. It's just putting in some nice music and then focusing on exactly that. You know, the idea is, and you know, you understand what I mean. When you do music, it's all in your head, and it takes ages until you have a result. And it takes ages. And from time to time, every now and then, I need something that I start, and then it's finished.
It's good to finish sometimes.
Yeah, it's just finished. Nice. It took 2 days.
Yeah.
Great. It's finished.
Right.
Cool. Then you make an album for 3 years, and this is the most insane thing that I experience for myself. You write this music, you go through every process, it's an amazing amount of work. And in the end, you just transfer it via Google Drive to whoever involved. Alone.
Yeah.
Here in the studio. Yeah. With this mouse, click. Finished.
Yeah.
This is crazy. I mean, back in the days, at least you had like a CD or something. You had to do something, had to bring it to the mail or whatever, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really miss it. We wanted to do it at 4 a.m., but then again, we wanted to meet up with the label. We wanted to make a big thing, have some champagne, but basically to have a formal handover, you know, that marks the end or the start of the promotion or whatever. Yeah, of course, I mean, in the end, it was school drive again. So that's what I mean with this. It's never ending. I need to do things. Or gardening, you know, plant something and then it's...
Exactly. Basically, that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know, do you consume stuff on YouTube, for example?
YouTube?
Much. Yeah, do you consume stuff on YouTube, like watch some carpentry stuff or...
Yeah, if I need assistance, yes, for help, yes, but privately...
Tutorials.
Tutorials and plug-in tutorials, of course, but apart from that, I'm... YouTube is not my thing, no.
Okay.
It's great for amazing to find information and and help. Exactly. Great. I really love it. That's cool. But apart from that, oh gosh, no.
Right.
One click.
You haven't been basically watching podcasts or something like this?
Yeah, not on regular basis. I like to, I really still love movies, really cool, also theaters, and But you know, I also used to be in a computer game addict, if you wish, and I try to avoid whatever is just happening. Everything needs to be a decision, not just consuming or whatever. So I
You can really get like caught up with there and like spend too much time you know, consuming.
I know that I miss stuff. I know that I miss stuff. There's a series of, I'm sure, and I know there's a lot of great things out there. I know that I miss stuff. And and I am also miss a lot of ideas that people have. Of course, yes. But that's the deal. I also have great ideas, and I would not have them if I were to spend more time.
Good to sometimes bore yourself as well.
Yeah.
For the mind to work.
I'm too much on Instagram anyway. Already had the
So that's a habit which you have, bad habit. Consuming Instagram.
But I have a blocker. Of course, yes. I try to be as good as well as I can. I try to be very focused. And sometimes as a lot of people, I mean, it's not a sign of weakness, it's just what it is. You have trouble recognizing that you're just wasting your time instead of making a proactive decision to relax. It's just some state of bleh. It's nothing.
Right.
And you need the remembrance. You need to be reminded, or you need to remind yourself that you can have an active decision to quit everything now. Take a bath, whatever. Do yoga. You can. But sometimes you just don't think of it. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Is there something basically what you would like to still plug, or something like? Is there something that's coming soon that's worth it to mention, people might be interested in?
I think that the news will be out soon, and we've been talking about Back Time to Splendor, and the thing, to make it short, next year Back Time to Splendor will celebrate 20th birthday anniversary, and we are indeed planning an European tour for April at the moment. So that's the idea, and it will happen, but I don't know exactly what will happen. But the next thing for us, before we kind of go back and write for the new album, will be April 2024 European tour with Back Time to Splendor. Full set, full record, yes. With the new lineup, of course. Yeah, this will be nice. Yeah.
Sounds cool. Yeah, but hey, thanks for the podcast, and thanks for the inspiration through the years, and like keep on going. You have a nice, basically, momentum going on, you know, with the Patreon and things. It's good to see you thriving there. So thanks a lot, man, for doing this.
Thank you very much for all your effort in this, man. This is I'm very grateful. Thank you.
No problem. All right.